Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke 22, find the 31st verse. Are you ready? Hold on. Can be good tonight. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Luke 22, verse 31. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail, so that when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Go to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the 12th chapter, verse 1. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with the sword. And Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people. He also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placed him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Huh. It's a little excessive, isn't it? Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, we have notes. It's our tradition to help you in your discipleship as we equip you for the works of ministry. That is what we're called to do. I believe that every single person here has a destiny from God. I believe every single person here has a divine assignment. I want you to say that to the person on the right or the left of you. Say, hey, man, you got a divine assignment. You're online. You have a divine assignment. In the Philippines, you have a divine assignment. We've been told by Pastor Prudencio Kinsai, who leads half of the works in the Philippines, that 86 of the Philippine extensions, the extensions in the Philippines, King's Philippines, 86 of them are online all the time, nearly in every single service we have. And he said, would you please make mention, because we watch nearly everything that comes out of King's Alaska, we watch it. And so we acknowledge what God's doing in the Philippines, and half the story is yet to have been told. God is going to pour out his spirit. Leaders coming from all over, not only in the Philippines, but in every nation, every tribe and tongue. God is summoning people. He's assembling an army. He's calling forth his ambassadors. He's calling forth worship leaders. He's calling forth every kind of leader. He's calling forth intercessors. He's raising up an army. Come on, how many of you are part of the end time army of God? You are. You might not know it. You might not have enlisted just yet, but I hope and plan that you would. Tonight, when the Israelites began to cry out for deliverance, you see in Exodus 2, and you don't need to go there, but God heard their cry and he raised up a deliverer. Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, Jabez prayed. He prayed that God would bless him. He prayed that God would expand his territory. He prayed that he wouldn't cause anyone pain. That's a good prayer. Oh, that you would bless me. It's a powerful song we sing occasionally, and God answered Jabez's prayer. You look throughout Scripture and you see Daniel in the lion's den. He prayed and the lions went on a fast. Over and over and over, you see people praying. Hezekiah's prayer for healing in 2 Kings 20. Hannah's prayer for a son in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Elijah's prayer for rain in 1 Kings chapter 18. Over and over and over in the Old Testament. Nineveh, Jonah chapter 3, city of 100,000 people. They prayed in repentance and God forgave their sin and intervened, although Jonah wasn't very happy about it. I think he wanted them to get killed. You see Paul and Silas in prison. They prayed, and God broke them out of prison. You see Jesus throughout the Gospels, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He would pray. All who came to him, he healed. Prayer. I don't know how it is that we're given like a blank check from heaven and we so irregularly don't fill it out. This text is so profound to me, and I've preached from it before, and it's preached to me numerous times as well. Both passages, there's this conjunction there, which I've given the title of the sermon, but nevertheless, could be another way to say it. Simon, Simon, Satan desired to sift you, nevertheless, or but I've prayed for you. That's fascinating because Peter seems to get sifted, but he doesn't end up like Judas. And that was the intention of the enemy. Both passages, Peter faces death. You begin to see that there's like an assassination attempt against the leading apostle, Peter. There's not only an assassination attempt against him. The devil hates you, and if he could kill you, he would. If he could have taken me out, he would have done it a long time ago. He cannot. We are kept by Almighty God. But could it be that there's things that happen that possibly make us candidates for sifting? I was working out, which I do as a part of my discipline in life. And as I was listening to this message, sermon, worship song, which was a message and a sermon, it's about fortifying your faith. Fortify my faith. I have a high priest that prays for me. It's such a powerful song. Mercy Culture. Anybody ever heard it? Powerful, powerful song. Mercy Culture, their new album. I would highly advise you get it. I texted my son, who's part of helps to lead the worship team, Minister Daniel, now Minister Daniel, and Minister Toby. I said, guys, learn this song. So they're trying to figure out how to learn that. And a section of the song, it's this scripture, Luke 22. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And so there I am going between sets, moving on to my next exercise. And I'm singing, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And then what comes out of my mouth is, Daniel, Daniel, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And I stopped in my tracks. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And I heard it again, Daniel, Daniel, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. I'm like, oh no, oh no. And I wasn't quite sure it was literally, honestly, whether it was my soul or it was the Lord speaking to me, but I took it as a word from the Lord. And I began to examine myself. Workout's over. I'm like, I'm not getting sifted. I know this text. There are things that were in Peter's life that made him a candidate for getting sifted. Now, let me just tell you, and we're going to look at that, but let me ask you this. Is it possible that some of you are going through the trouble that you're going through because you've got things in your life that have made you a candidate to get sifted? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years ago, we were driving between LA and Lahui. Pastor Vince was sitting in the back seat of my car. And Pastor Karen and I we're passionate. And sometimes we discuss things passionately. Pastor Karen says we were fighting. So I wasn't fighting, but anyway. And Pastor Vince and Ava, we've known them for, I don't know how, you know, a long time going on, I don't know, probably 25 years. So he's in the back. You know, we are what we are. We don't put on airs. It wasn't like we were trying to behave ourselves in the front. We were just arguing. And, you know, he's in the back. And I'll never forget. we're just like, seriously? And and he's like, hallelujah. I'm still back here. Hallelujah. He starts singing. We started laughing, and Karen repented, and we moved on. Undoubtedly, it's the other way around. Could it be that you're doing something in your life that has caused for a promotion in the eyes of darkness? In other words, could you be doing something that has now made you a candidate for sifting? And for me, back to my story in the gym, I instantly start examining my life, and I'm instantly convicted over my TikTok account. Now, I'm just being real transparent with you. I don't go looking for sin. I don't have pornography in my life. Long done, long delivered with that many, many decades ago, long before I met Pastor Karen, long ago. I don't have that in my life. I don't practice that. But I'm going to just tell you, in this world, you'll have things that pop up. You'll have things that defile you. Now, when that happens, what are you going to do? So that happens. Things happen. And so when they happen, you know, you've got to wash your feet. You know, you need to repent. You need to break off defilement. I'll have Pastor Karen pray for me. Sometimes I'll see something on a TV or an image or somewhere, and I'm like, I've been defiled by people. I've had people say things to me. There can be a lust defilement, a greed defilement, all kinds of defilement. It's like if you dipped yourself in a sewer and popped out, you know, you'd smell. So I was instantly convicted about some of the things I had seen. I follow my daughter on TikTok, and she's an social media influencer on TikTok as well as on Instagram, and she does that. It's part of what she does for a living. It's a side business now. She's the director of marketing for King's Cathedral and Chapels and is now taking that job in Maui, and we're so happy for them. And so I was instantly convicted because I was seeing some things periodically, randomly. And I love what Pastor Karen said to me. He says, you know, none of that ever happens to me. And my answer to that is because I'm a 57-year-old male and algorithms target guys like me. Algorithms target men to pull them in because they know about the eye gate and they just know how to get you. Now, you'd get targeted by Macy's. Nordstrom. Oh, the Nordstrom rack. Get a great deal. Buy twice as much and spend the same as you would as you bought. Anyway. Oh, yeah. You were like, the algorithms, they know how to target. And so instantly I was like, ooh, I've had a couple things. Like, I don't really need to be there. And I realized once again, now you might have heard me say that before. Yeah. That was Instagram. This was TikTok. I repented. I instantly deleted the app. I got rid of the app, and I just thought, what else? Because I'm not doing the sifting thing. No thanks. Come on, someone say no thank you. Luke 22, look at the text. The Last Supper, you know, they're asking, who's the greatest? A statement of Peter. It's all tied together. There was something about Peter. In fact, the key, as Dr. Morocco taught this to me years ago, he doesn't call him Peter, pumpkin eater. He doesn't call him that. He never called him pumpkin eater. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. Peter. He doesn't say Peter. What does he say? Simon. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What? Simon. Well, who is Simon? Well, it's the same guy, right? Is he the same guy? Is it? He got a name change, did he not? Did he not? He was Simon when he was an unbelieving fisherman. But Simon got a name change to Peter or Cephas or the rock, right? He doesn't call him Peter, he calls him Simon. And there's a clue there. There was something about his fallen human nature, something about him that was made him a candidate. And if you look at Peter, he had pride. He had issues. There's certain things that he did. He would just put his foot in his mouth. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there at the raising of Jairus' daughter. It was his pride. In his pride, he made himself a candidate for Satan to destroy. Is there anything in you? You got anything? You know, I've been in this game. I've been in the kingdom a little while. And if you're in church for any length of time, you'll see people so on fire to backslide straight to hell. I mean, they just deny Jesus, never serve God again. That could have happened to Peter. It didn't. He fell. He didn't fall away. All depends on terminology and how you want to define that. He stumbled and messed up. He denied Jesus, but he came back. You know, he wouldn't have come back. I don't believe he would have come back unless Jesus prayed for him. We'll get into a little bit of application. Is there anybody out there, perhaps, that you know that maybe you could pray more for that they wouldn't fall away? But I have prayed for you. Say that. But I have prayed for you. The second passage that we looked at, Acts 12. Church being persecuted by Herod, who had James killed. Now, if you know somebody that's undergoing persecution or going through a hard time, I mean, we have many people that are believing for healing. I think I saw Christiana Sitbon somewhere. Be healed in Jesus' name. We love you, sweetheart. Bless you. So proud of you. Got great courage. By the way, I think your haircut looks amazing. So we pray for you every day. There's not a day that goes by. Multiple times throughout the day, we pray, cancer go in Jesus' name, be healed. 100% healed. You're already a walking miracle. They don't know how you walk. They don't know how you're alive. They're just practicing medicine, but God's able to do it. We speak now. Miracle power in Jesus' name, be healed. All right. Now, if you had a loved one, come on, someone in your life group, if you had a loved one or someone in your life group, one of your family is persecuted and they're sent to prison for their faith, how do you think you would respond to that? You would be praying. So do you think they prayed for James? Do you think they prayed for James before he lost his head? Oh, yes, they did. They did. They prayed and James was persecuted and beheaded by Herod, the psycho. And Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. So he's like, well, awesome, being a man pleaser. Let me go ahead and get Peter, the chief apostle. And he gets Peter and he brings him in. All of this is the handiwork of Satan, really, to try to destroy Peter, to try to destroy the church. He's arrested and he's thrown in prison. Is the church praying? Yes, big time. In fact, the text says that it was, but I promise you they're praying for James too. You know, sometimes we go through things when we pray and the turnout's not like we want. I have settled it long ago. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. I am not putting regulations on what God is going to do and what he's not going to do. I know from his word that he's good. I don't understand certain things that at times contradict his word. I mean, I remember when Karen was pregnant with our second child, also named Daniel, middle name John. You've never met him. You'll see him later if you're born again because he's in heaven. And I remember I did a series on miracles. I remember I did a series on miracle signs and wonders. We knew we had what's called a fatal birth defect. They told us to get an abortion. And we decided, you're not God. We're going to believe God. We believe God, carried almost full term. And eventually he was born and he died and went to heaven. I remember it like this 7th or 8th month. I'm preaching on miracle power. Fire falls on me. And I remember this very vividly. You were all the way in the back of the Kula church. And I took off out of the pulpit, which is not exactly uncharacteristic. And I ran down the center aisle. And you were on the back wall. And I laid hands on your belly and said, be healed. Shaking, weeping, crying, power of God. And yet when that baby came out, now they say, I'll just tell you, you're not supposed to be moved by what you see. Sometimes you need to close your eyes. You're in a heavy situation. It could rob your faith sometimes. Hello. And so when I saw my child, clearly We do not have a miracle. So it's time for a miracle. Now, we were fasting and praying. They take my baby. They say, come on, Mr. Bracken, come over here. We're going to wash your child. I said, give him my son. Give me my son. We're washing him. Give me the baby. Hand me the baby. Baby's dying, clearly. And I took the child, and I'm undone by holding my baby who's clearly dying. I closed my eyes. I looked to heaven. There it was a C-section. They're putting Karen back together, doctors, nurses, people staring at me. I closed my eyes, and I began to say, oh, God. I think I said, oh. And the Lord went, son, no. What? Like I knew he had spoken to me. No. And so I looked at my child, and I have a no. I walked, I wrapped the child up. I remember Karen putting her hand on Daniel John as his heart was slowing down. I walked to a back room of that hospital through a sea of 70 to 80 intercessors that were in the waiting room. And I mean like King's kind of intercessors. People doing the intercessory chop, spitting everywhere, you know, really loud. Not like, I'm not against quiet prayer, but it was not quiet. It was, Pastor Colleen was there, and it was a roar of intercessors, of leaders and people from the church. I don't know how you do church without a church family. You're going to go through stuff, people. You're going to go through stuff. If you got a family around you, you can make it many times. I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact that was a moment that the enemy was going to try to use to destroy me right at the very beginning of our ministry. We weren't pastors yet. We were leaders. We were on staff. We were leading life groups. We were in the process of about to take a church. And I know the enemy used that. You said, did you make yourself a candidate for sifting then? Maybe. Not that I'm aware of. I don't know. I just know that God's good. I've settled it. You've got to settle it tonight. Settle it. He's good. So now whether he did it the way you wanted him to do it or not, he's still good. He's still God. But you must look to see if you've got something on the inside of you that has made you a candidate for promotion into hellish situations and circumstance. Oh, the devil's attacking me. Well, you've got all kinds of perversion in your life. Well, of course, it's like an open door from the portal of hell to chew on your spine, and you wonder why you have problems. Let's all have a praise break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, sing with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Went in that back room after walking through intercessors and I was weeping and crying. I went to this back room and I got on my knees. I began to cry out, God. And what came out of my spirit, I learned to never do again. Why? 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 Why'd you say no? Why? This doesn't even make sense scripturally. Why? Why? And the Lord came in a beautiful way that he does. And he said, son, let me comfort you. And when that happened, I remember saying, no, I want to know why. Let me comfort you. God, let me comfort you. God. And then it shifted. The Holy Spirit is pictured as a Middle Eastern dove throughout the scriptures. The law first mentioned, you see in the ark. But you see, a dove is always a picture of peace. It's always a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, the Holy Spirit is not a dove. Like a dove, came to rest on him. The Middle Eastern dove has five main wing feathers that all point to the head. Picture the fivefold. And nine main wing feathers that point to the head, nine gifts of the Spirit, five main tail feathers that keep the whole thing balanced, picture the fivefold. And you can scare a Middle Eastern dove once, and it comes back. You scare it twice, it'll come back. You scare it three times, not coming back. And in that moment, what I did was I rejected the comfort of the Lord. Because of a brokenness in my own soul, I wanted to wallow in the pain of sorrow, rejection, and death. There was a broken place in me. I know that now. I did not know that then. And the why turned then into incredible accusations from the enemy. And I mean like really good ones. Oh, God's so real and his word's so true and you're a pastor. Then why didn't he heal your son? What kind of love is that? I mean, one after another. And it felt like they came from different directions. And the whole room, honestly, my testimony is this. The whole room went dark and my faith began to crumble. I began to lose hope in God. And I thought, what kind of a God does that? What kind of a God does that? And I began to weep and cry. And then like a flicker of light in my spirit, I remember that God has so delivered me. And I could feel something stirring. And I went, wait a minute. That's not God. This is not God. Jesus! And the power of God hit me. The whole room, which was dark, went light. And the power of God came on me and I got healed. Why didn't your son live? He is alive. He's in heaven. Why didn't he heal him? He is healed. Why didn't he heal it right now? I don't know why. And I will never ask. Some of you ask questions that if he told you the answer, you'd have no idea. And then you hang your hat on that. That's it. And he didn't answer why. I'm just going to go back to drinking Bud Dumber and Heineken. And I'm just going to go back to smoking weed. Lord doesn't love me. There are certain things you just need to settle it. God is good. Settle it tonight. God is settling. God is good. Say it again. God is good. Bob Rogers said the greatest revelation, the king of fasting, our friend Bob Rogers, he's preached here before. He said this, the greatest revelation he has ever gotten from God is this. God is good. The devil, bad. That's it. Try that with me. God is good. Devil, bad. I have another son. His name is Daniel. He's preaching to the youth right now. He'll redeem things. Don't you put conditions on God. Stop it. You're not God. He spoke and planets spun off. He took the hem of creation, struck the anvil of time, caught the sparks, threw them out, and they're all the stars, and he named everyone by name. He knows everyone by name. He knows every hair on your head or the lack thereof. He knows you. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down. Settle it that he's good. God is good. So I don't understand certain things, but I know that if I will maintain my relationship with him, no matter what, Romans 8, he will turn what the enemy meant for evil, even if it was my own stupidity, he will turn it around. If we pray, those that love God are called according to his purpose. Back to your notes, churches being persecuted, James is killed. You got to know the church is discouraged and maybe even questioning about prayer, maybe even questioning about, well, where's the Lord? What the heck? How is it that James got killed? How's that? Peter's arrested. He's going to have the same fate as James. He's going to be killed, but it's a Passover, so they're waiting. The church, but the church earnestly was praying to God for him. All of a sudden, you realize this assassination attempt against Peter has been thwarted because of prayer. The prayer of Jesus, and by the way, he sits at the right hand of majesty, the Bible says, ever living to make intercession for you and me. So he's not stopped praying. He's praying now, right now. He's praying right now that you would hear what I'm saying to you and that you would be quickened. You would be charged. You would be illuminated in your heart to understand the power of prayer changes everything. And so the enemy will do whatever he can do to get you from praying. What God is saying to us the prayer meeting this week, my own experience, so touched by the Lord and so grieved. I was grieved because for the Lord to say, I've been waiting for you. It's like I've wanted to do so much, son, but I've been waiting for you. Let's do this now. I'm thinking, what was I thinking? Oh, we're working hard. Oh, we pray. A number of circumstances happened without giving you all the details in our building that if they had played out, where's Minister Hang? If they had played out, you know what the enemy tried to do there? Tried to get us completely out of our building. Out. And maybe nobody else knows that, but I know that. It's the same wicked spirit that's tried to keep us from progressing. And something lit a fuse on the inside of me when that happened. And you might have been the brunt of some of that passionate communication right then. God bless you. I remember telling Dr. Morocco the situation, and I'm not even going to waste my breath or advertise any of the works of the enemy. It's over. We passed the test. It's fine. Everything's great. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. So it was this moment just last week. I remember telling Dr. Morocco, and man, that man, he's a big dude, and he got very demonstrative. His eyes popped out of his head. He grabbed me by my little lapels, and he pulled me forward. He said, listen to me. I was like, I'm listening. Just how high? I'm ready. Listen, you do not understand what God wants to do in Wasilla. You do not understand. Do you hear me, son? I said, yes. He said, you don't understand the powers of darkness that are against you. You don't understand. Do you hear me? I said, yes. He said, you must pray like you've never prayed before. Call every extension that's under the Alaska group and you tell them every single morning, pray for that building to get done. Pray that you get the occupancy. Move in because God's going to pour out his spirit in an unprecedented measure and the enemy's fighting you. Son, pray. I was like, wah, wah. I just wanted to do like a haka for a second. It's gonna bust out on that Samoan thing. Where's Dusty here? We should have Dusty do it. Come on, Dusty! I felt like I just wanted to bust into a haka. I love that. The youngest, I saw it on some Instagram thing. The youngest leader of the parliament or something in Samoa, right? She's 24 years old or something, and she got voted in. And I loved how she just did this whole haka thing. There's a whole nother generation that is not going to tolerate the shenanigans of the enemy. That's going to examine their life. They're not going to be made candidates for sifting. They're going to say, no more. That's it. That's it. You've come this far. No more. I push you back by the authority of the name of Jesus. There's a fire that's rising in a generation that won't be pushed back. I'm telling you, in this hour of history, you got to get Holy Ghost tough. You gotta draw up some courage and zeal and push the enemy out of your home. Push the enemy out of your mind. Push the enemy out of your marriage. Push the enemy out of your business. Push the enemy out of the church. Push the enemy out of the nation. Push the enemy out. You can do it. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. He's able to do it through you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to flow on the inside of you. He can use you to heal the sick. He can use you to set the captives free. There's a fire. There's a fire. There's a fire that's being stirred in the hearts of God's people. There's a fire. There's a fire. There's a fire. But you got to reach out and take it. Waka! Smooth-kneed and apathetic, lethargic, limp-wristed, weak, spineless Christianity will get nothing done. Well, the Lord loves me. Yeah, He loves you. Grow a spine. Lord, won't you just help me with this attack? He said, I already did. I already sent my son to be crucified. He resurrected from the dead. I've given you the same spirit. Now stand up. Stand up and push back darkness. Come on, somebody. Turn me up so I don't have to yell as loud. So I want you to pray. And I don't know, some things happened where things shifted for me in this time of prayer and fasting, where I have that same fire on me that I had in the last 3 months to get this thing done. I feel the same thing. It just irritated the life out of me. Would you join me? Would you? There's Peters out there that have become Simons. That if you'll call them back and you'll pray, there's things that won't happen if we don't pray. We can cripple heaven through our prayerlessness. It's a crucial time in our nation and in our state. We do not know what is ahead. We don't know. Don't look to the president, the next president of the United States, to bring revival. That's not what government's supposed to do. Government's supposed to allow for us to have peace so that we can do our job. Verse Peter talks about that. One of the reasons we're in such difficulty in our nation is the church has been asleep in the arms of the enemy and has not actually taken the high ground, high places, not installed their king in Zion, if I could say it that way. We have people that are in positions of leadership and influence that are corrupt and broken and perverse. But it can change. It might take 40 years, but we're in it for the long haul. And anyway, this is your last generation, so you better just do the best you can because you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ for it. I was thinking in Maui, and I'll try to say this as graciously as we can. We're having challenges with our permitting process and this Ohana village and getting everything moving forward so the people of Lahaina can have a place to stay. Miraculously, God gave us his 10 acres, and they have all these little tiny houses, and they can't use them. Because people are concerned in the high places, decision makers, that if they grant us permits, then we're going to use that for the church or something. You know what we need to do here in Alaska? Let me just tell you. If you don't push and encourage and educate your kids to become the next governor, the next senator, you don't educate them to take the high place, then we'll have to deal with people. I'm going to tell you, they train their kids. They pump dark money into Alaska so that things get perverse, and the books in the libraries, all the same-sex marriage, you're just ramming it down our throat. That's not the heart of Alaskans, Chechako or Native. That's not the heart of Alaskans. Alaskans generally love God, and they're conservative, and they want truth, they want peace, And this is being pumped in if we don't raise up our kids to take the place. Who's going to be the next mayor? I don't know if Mayor Edna's here. God bless Mayor Edna. Love you. Who's going to be the next mayor? It better be another believer, for God's sake. Jesus, help us. Who are we training? Who's going to be the next Department of Education? Who's going to be the next teacher? By the way, let me tell you, we have miraculous strides at making our school for next fall. Would you pray for that? And all of that, if it doesn't have a backing of prayer, will go nowhere. You pray for Mayor Edna. Pray for her every day. You pray for our governor every day. You pray for the lieutenant governor. You pray for leaders and kings and those in authority, says the Bible. Father, we thank you for Mayor Edna. We thank you for her staff. We thank you for the power of God and the blood of Jesus, supernatural protection and wisdom from heaven. God, raise up 1,000 Mayor Ednas. See, because if that had happened in Maui, because then the decision makers wouldn't be that same block of people that have been that same block of people forever. We didn't get them saved. we didn't get 40 years ago. It's a generation. So what we're sowing, what we're creating right now in prayer and action, 40 years, we're going to reap the harvest as they come, decision makers. Are you tracking with me? So glad you came to church tonight. Bump your neighbor and say, man, it's fun. Yes. Woo! Keys, please. On a personal basis, Satan's trying to destroy marriages. February 2nd. Marriage and family tune-up. What do we call it? Warm-up. Winter warm-up. We have a marriage event. It's one night. And I'll be preaching along with the Hergelots, Minister Hank and Minister Arian and our team. It's free. You get your spouse or soon-to-be spouse or your single body. You get here. Come to that. Why? Because it will instill and put in you impartation for a healthy marriage. I have a great marriage. Do I have a great marriage?
We do.
Yes, we do. We do. Is it got conflict? I told you, we had conflict. We had conflict all the time. We work things out. We get peace. Hello. That's not a doormat right there, and you shouldn't be.
Amen. I'm the head of the house.
You're dumb. Satan's trying to destroy marriage. He's trying to destroy your children. He's trying to destroy your business. He's trying to destroy the church. He's trying to destroy everything. Why? Because that's what he does. When he's lying, he's speaking his native language. He's the father of lies. He comes to steal, kill, and? Well, how are you going to take care of him? By living holy and by praying. Prayer. Prayer is key. Make it a foundational thing. Well, I feel uncomfortable. Well, listen, you need to get over your... Don't make comfort your God. Oh, I just feel uncomfortable. I think he came to heal the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's good. I had a situation just after the past couple weeks. I got really humbled by it. Boy, didn't like the waste of that humble pie. I don't really like having a slice of the humble pie. Oh, but I love what it does for me. I just got leveled. And then I just thought, oh God, you're training me. How awesome. Yes, God. Let's go, Lord. Ah, you brought me to this time, for the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank you for loving me enough to rebuke me. Ah, I don't want to be sifted. I've been sifted. Anybody been sifted? You don't have to raise your hand. You ever been sifted? It's not fun. Sifting is not fun. Personally, as a church, Satan's trying to stop us from fulfilling the 12:120. We will see it happen. How? Come plant churches. We're open at Anchorage. We're opening Anchorage. We got to open it. How? I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing here. I don't know how we got here. Going to open Anchorage. Driving into the city years ago, before most of the staff was here and we were quite small, I'm pulling in and the Lord says, pull over and shout. For I'm giving you the city. I pulled my car over. I got out right by that music store right there on Fifth Avenue or whatever it was. And I yelled, the Lord has given me the city! And I felt this boom. There was a whole bunch of other unusual people that were standing here by me. And I think I blended right in, but I obeyed God. What will you do? What will you do? What will you do to advance the cause of the kingdom? What will you do? I told you, you have a divine assignment from God. What will you do to see it fulfilled? You can't fulfill it without prayer. You can't do it without prayer. You need to make prayer the very cornerstone of your life, the very fabric of your home. You know, I'm uncomfortable. Well, you better get over it. So your kids learn to pray. So your kids learn to read the word. If you're not reading the word, they ain't going to read the word. You can tell, do what I say, not what I do. Well, that's great, Einstein. That's awesome. It's not going to work. Pastor Karen, where are you going? Come on, make a fresh commitment to have prayer in your home. Every night we prayed over our children. Every night. Every single night, it would be gather at mom and dad's bed. From the time they were in the crib and as they grew up, we always had a family prayer time. It was oh so simple. Father, thank you for Hannah and Daniel, that they were a gift and a reward from you. Thank you for the plan and the purpose you have for their lives even before they were born. Thank you that they're a gift, Lord, and the power of God is upon them. We break off any defilement and anything that's tried to come upon them. We pray, God, you would help us to train them in the way that they should go. Holy Spirit, come upon them. Oh, God. And it just goes on and on and on and on. It's all these scriptures. We prayed it every night, religiously, without fail. Where'd you learn that? From the Word? From Dr. Morocco? 3 a.m. at some obscure airport on the way to Israel. People are so tired. Our eyes are falling out of our head. You ever done long international travel? Okay, it's like that. I'm almost hallucinating. I'm so tired. It doesn't matter if you have a chair, you're on the floor, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're going to sleep. And I'm right there and I look over and Dr. Morocco's rocking back and forth. I said, Pastor, what are you doing? He said, I need to pray for my children. I said, amen, I'm gonna pray for mine too. And there we rocked back and forth. I got about 3 sentences out and passed out. What are you gonna do so you're not sifted? What are you gonna do so your family's not sifted? What are you gonna do so your marriage is not sifted? You can pray. We're gonna see the vision come to pass. How's it gonna come to pass? You're gonna pray. Largest church in the world is in Seoul, Korea. Might be Nigeria now, someone told me, but Dr. Cho Yonggi. They asked him, how did you do all of this? Listen, when they have a prayer meeting with 100,000 people. 100,000 people. That's their prayer meeting. They can't even get everybody all together because they just, when they have large gatherings, they just bring the life group leader and the assistant and the host. Actually, the life group, the small group can't come because there's not enough room. And he says this, all we do is pray and obey. How simple is that? Pray and obey. Sometimes the obeying's tough. What will we do? We must pray.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.